Had so much fun yesterday breaking down some of the best games we've ever attended in person. I know I gave you my top five list in the 5 o'clock hour, and I'll probably maybe revisit, not that list specifically, but a couple of the honorable mentions, because, you know, you give out a topic like that, you obviously dig deep and you obviously find the games that are like near and dear in your heart. Those games that are at the top of the mountain. But like, I was just going through it today and I was like, geez, there are so many other games that I was lucky enough to attend that are still etched in my memory in so many different ways that I didn't really get a chance to share with you guys. So I will unveil that honorable mention list. And I'm sure for a couple of you guys, because we were jammed. And listen, God bless you guys, because we have been jammed really throughout this pandemic. And actually, really going back to when we started doing the overnights in general. I mean, you guys have just been on fire. I can't thank you guys enough. And I know I say it all the time, but it's worth repeating. Because you guys have made these shows for me so much more enjoyable, so much more entertaining. Your passion, I feed off it. We get that back and forth and we make some magic. And that's what I love to do. And that's what I get paid to do. So I'm very, very appreciative of you guys. Of course, I'm very appreciative of all of our first responders who are out there doing their thing, helping to try to take down COVID-19. But we'll give you that honorable mention list a little bit later on in the show. But we're going to begin with the, not only the draft, but where I think I'm going to take our trip down memory lane here on this Friday morning. But it is crazy to think about, as we have been stuck in lockdown, stuck in quarantine, knowing that it's now a month, basically. It's beyond that, since we've seen a sporting event. It's a month, basically, for all of us with the stay-at-home orders or just the city and your town just being the definition of a ghost town. I mean, drive around. Nobody at work, at least a good majority of you. Nobody at school. The highways, I've never seen New York City this empty. When it takes, you know, 15 minutes for me to get from my apartment to, you know, the Upper East Side of Manhattan at like 5 or 6 o'clock on rush hour, that's telling you something. But despite all of this going on, and it has definitely caused a lot of pain, it has definitely brought out a lot of anxiety, I think, in all of us. But from a sports perspective, there has been kind of one thing for me, aside from you guys, aside from the shows that we have been doing, that has kind of been that light at the end of the tunnel. In a sense of, all right, we got something to look forward to. We got an event to discuss. We got something that's live, that's real, that's legitimate. And yes, NFL free agency fit that mold. It did. But we're going to have the NFL draft in less than a week. And at this time next week, we will be sitting here on the air at 2:07 in the morning. And what we will be doing is not taking our trip down memory lane. We'll have to put that off for a week or so. What we will be doing is breaking down and analyzing legitimate, real, live and in living color sports news. And I can tell you, even if it is draft, that's going to be therapeutic in more ways than one. Like, if I can come on the air and either be jubilant with my beloved team taking Tua, or I can just blow a gasket and let it rip and let it loose about the Dolphins making a mistake, in my eyes, taking a guy like Justin Herbert, it might not sound like much. And, you know, I know there are a lot of people out there suffering right now. So, by no means do I want you guys next week to take like that angst and frustration or jubilance and kind of equate it to what's going on in the world. You shouldn't. But what I'm looking to do is have that escape. One way or the other, I'm going to have that escape. And I hope for many of you, the draft will provide that as we move closer and closer to Thursday. And, You know, you're hearing all sorts of rumors about what the Jets may potentially do with their first round pick. And look, we have talked ad nauseum about the possibility of the Jets getting one of the four top offensive linemen or ending up in a position where they end up with one of the top three wide receivers, whether it's Jerry Jeudy, whether it's CeeDee Lamb, and you're hearing all sorts of rumors about the Eagles being very hot and heavy on not only a wide receiver, but the Eagles being very hot and heavy on CeeDee Lamb, and I totally get it. I mean, if you're Philadelphia and you look at the weapons or lack thereof around Carson Wentz at the end of last year, not only due to injuries, but because the pick they made at wide receiver a year ago didn't exactly work out. And it's fair to say there were a couple of guys from DK Metcalf to AJ Brown and Deebo Samuel who lit it up and helped playoff teams. That onus, that pressure is going to be on Howie Roseman to go get himself a top dog. So I think the Jets will have competition in that area if they decide to do so. But there was a rumor I heard today that, quite frankly, I would not support. It is not the direction I would go. And the rumor in the report is kind of twofold. It's the possibility that maybe the Jets could surprise some people and trade down. That's something I am not doing if I'm the Jets. I'm sorry. I'm not. To me, you have a pick that can either get you an elite-level tackle or get you an elite-level wide receiver. That's what I'm looking to do. And I think where the Jets are currently positioned, they're in the perfect place to do so. Because one or the other is going to be available. The Jets, for what it is worth, have plenty of ammunition in this draft. They have a first-round pick. They have a second-round pick. They have two third-round picks, thanks to the trade you made with the Giants for Leonard Williams. The way I see it, you got yourself a premium asset. And, you know, I've talked to a couple of people who are into this sort of draft stuff. And listen, you can find gems, diamonds in the rough, every single year, if you know what you're doing. But a lot of people I trust and a lot of people I respect have told me that the back half of this first round, not nearly as easy on the eyes, I guess you could say, as the top half of this first round. We don't need a PhD. We don't even need a degree in calculus to figure out that the Jets are picking in the top half of the first round. Therefore, to me, they got to go get themselves a difference-making talent. Now, the other rumor that I was hearing, and Fleeks and I were just talking about it a few minutes ago before we got on the air, is the idea that the Jets could end up pivoting and not going in the direction of an offensive tackle and not going in the direction of a wide receiver. I'm not in love with the idea of the Jets maybe pivoting and taking Henderson, who is going to be, I think, a terrific, terrific corner. And don't get me wrong, it is a position that the Jets need to address. But their defense, folks, was not an issue for them a season ago. It wasn't great. But you know what? Greg Williams, all things considered, got the most out of that group. Greg Williams, with the injury to Avery Williamson, with the injury to CJ Mosley, he had that group by the end of the year playing hard, playing together, getting the most out of the ragtag bunch that he had at a variety of different positions. Here's what I do know. The Jets look like a team that wants to see once and for all what Sam Darnold is going to grow into, right? I mean, that's the position they should be in. I know that's the position I'm in right now. I'm still bullish on the quarterback. I think he's got a very bright future ahead of him. I think he's had a very uneven first 2 years because he either has missed time with an injury, he got sick last year with mono, and it feels like, in many ways, grading him over the first 2 years is almost an incomplete. sooner or later, that's got to change, though, right? Regardless of what the circumstance may be, you start going in that third year, fourth year, fifth year. I mean, you are moving closer and closer and closer to a direction in which, guess what? That team's got to pay it. And the Jets aren't there yet with Sam Darnold, but it's coming. They have not in any way over the first 2 years given this quarterback the sort of weapons that he's going to need to have in order to have great success, whether it's from their head coach, whether it's just the overall team around them, you name it. So, what am I getting at here, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? It's a very simple proposition to me. If you're Joe Douglas, and if you're the New York Jets, you need offensive upgrades, and you desperately need offensive talent across the board. Right now, the Jets don't have enough of that. So, I can hear rumors about a potential Henderson pick. I can hear them. Sure. He may turn out to be a terrific, terrific talent. If I'm passing up help on the offensive side of the ball, jeez, he better go turn himself into, you know, the next Hall of Famer. He better go turn himself into an All-Pro if you're going to pass up more offensive help. I just think it's that much of a premium for the Jets this year. More so than even the last couple of years. They need help on offense. They need help around their young quarterback. And I think it's going to be a very tough sell to a lot of Jet fans who are listening to the show right now if this team decides that they are going to pass up on one of the four tackles, which I don't think they will do. I do not believe the Jets, if one of the four tackles is there, will pass up on one of the four tackles. Gut feel right now, I think one of those guys is going to end up wearing a Jet uniform, and they're going to be your selection next week. That's just the way I see it shaking out. Maybe it's Becton, maybe it's Andrew Thomas, I don't know. But I think one of those guys will be a New York Jet. May have to put a wager down on that. I know. Haven't been able to do that in a while, too. And we'll have James Alberino on later, but that's besides the point. If they do not have an option of taking one of those four offensive linemen, and who knows? We've seen it before in the draft. There could be a run on a certain position. Teams are prioritizing the offensive line as they should be, more than ever before, maybe. Because teams are very much of the copycat mindset. So when they see the Dallas Cowboys do a certain thing, and it works, they see the Tennessee Titans go about things a certain way, the Indianapolis Colts go about things a certain way, and they see success, it's kind of monkey see, monkey do. It's that sort of deal. There are going to be plenty of teams in the market for offensive tackles. So, the question that Joe Douglas may have to answer going into draft day, do you pass up Judy or Lamb or Ruggs to take a corner? That'd be a very bold way to start running the operation for the New York Jets. It would certainly put the bullseye, and it would put Henderson completely under that microscope. I wouldn't get cute. But I'm not making the call. I'm not making the pick. There's a reason why the Jets put a whole lot of faith in Joe Douglas. He comes well-regarded. He comes from two terrific organizations in the Baltimore Ravens and the Philadelphia Eagles, and now it's his time to shine. I'm taking an offensive player. And you want my gut feel at this point? They don't take an offensive player. It's going to be a mistake. May turn out to get a great player. I just think this quarterback, going into a pivotal year, going into a critical stage of his development, it's time to start putting the pieces around him. And I think he's got to start come Thursday.